This episode is sponsored by Jabra. To learn more about the Jabra Sport Pulse wireless earbuds, visit jabra.com/embracerunning. You're listening to the Embrace Running Podcast. I'm Mark.
I'm Elena, and this is episode number 188 for January 28th, 2016.
Welcome back. Time to continue our conversations about running.
Our continual discussion that never stops.
Our weekly habit. I guess the other habit would be running. I think these are both good habits to have, though, right?
What, running and then talking about running?
Sure.
Sure.
It's probably...
Could take up a lot of time, though.
It does. Probably not a good thing if you have one of those friends that, you know, you're always yapping in their ear about running and they're probably sick of it by now. But other than that, good habits.
Yeah.
What's the plan for today? Catch up on us. What's going on? Go over some news. Talk about vitamin D. And we're going to talk about some really cold races. And some feedback at the end. And I think that'll be the plan for today. We'll see if I don't change things as we go along. But let's kind of jump into it and start out with catching up on what's going on with us. You're first, per tradition.
Still training for the LA Marathon.
That's good.
Yeah, because it hasn't happened yet. Happened, so right. So got to keep training. Did a 16 and a half mile long run last weekend and felt okay. No issues really. Ran a little bit faster than I had run my previous long run. So happy about that. Although this one was a little bit shorter, but still. Let's see. It's perfect running weather from what I remember. No rain. Wasn't hot. It was overcast. Right? Am I thinking of the right?
You are absolutely correct.
Yeah, it was perfect.
Just nice, cool weather over here on the West Coast.
Yeah. The day before, I actually was at a race, which we had mentioned before, the Coyote Hills race. I was working the Ragnar booth, and that weather was totally different. It was like beautiful and sunny, and then like torrential downpour, like everybody hunker down, and then beautiful and sunny with rainbows, and then torrential downpour. So that was interesting. But,
really?
Yeah.
There were rainbows?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
You didn't believe me?
I don't know.
They're actual rainbows.
Literally?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I thought you were just making stuff up. No, I don't know.
There's actual rainbows. So, anyways.
At least you were under a canopy, though, right?
Yes.
So, at least you. Okay.
Yeah. And people got really interested in the race when it was raining. So,
that's right.
You know.
You just look for that nearby canopy.
Yeah. No, they're actually really honest. They're like, can we just stand here for a little bit? Like, yeah, it's totally fine. I don't think there's going to be much movement right now. So, yeah, I guess that's pretty much it. I didn't do as much cross training this last week as I had hoped or I had been doing weeks prior. Not that it was a lot, but it was more than what I did last week. I think possibly I just was on the bike one day and that might have been the whole extent of my cross training. So hopefully that'll change up sometime soon. But, kept my, so far.
Your streak?
My streak is alive. Activity streak of 30 minutes every day. So that's still going strong. All right. Yeah, that's pretty much it. I don't really have anything else to say.
Okay.
For me. So, yeah. How's it been for you?
Let's see. I had an unusual week because I had a great week. I've had an awesome kind of week and a half here going. And as we kind of come into the end of January, I think January was still got two more runs, I think, to do this month. But January was a very good month, kind of a way to turn things around from probably which was not a great November and December for me, especially December. But yeah, feeling really good, kind of starting to get in the groove. I've been actually super excited just to get out and get runs in. Had a good week, got my runs in, paced pretty well. Went out on the weekend to do my long run. Had planned on doing a 14 miler, which I also planned at the beginning of the run. I said I'm going to be a little bit slower than normal on the start. Just try to be super consistent for the entire 14 miles. And I'll pat myself on the back. Did kind of start correctly in that regard and just kind of a little bit slower and a little more consistent first few miles. Stomach between 9 and 11 just hated me. So I had to stop a bunch of times just to walk for a bit because my stomach was just not a happy camper that day at all. But got to mile 12 and decided, oh, let me at least finish this strong and picked it up and did finish the run really strong. And actually my 14 miler turned into a 15 miler. Which never happens to me, I don't think. I mean, how often do I come on here and say, yeah, I just ran an extra mile just because I felt good. Especially on a long run, that doesn't happen to me much.
You better make that note in the calendar, a little star, sticker, something.
Yeah, something. Yeah. I deserve something. I don't know what, but maybe a good kick in the pants is what I need most of the time. But yeah, I don't know. I just tacked on the mile and so I got 15 done. So I was super happy about that. And it was 15 that I, felt really good and finished strong, which there's something that doesn't happen too often on 14 or 15 milers for me is finishing strong. So can't complain about that at all. So that's kind of why I'm having a great week. What else is going on? Because 15 milers give you lots of time to think in your head. Actually, I had a chance to kind of think something through. Sometimes you kind of laugh at me because I think sometimes in the summertime, I'm always looking forward to running in the winter.
Mm-hmm.
And then as soon as winter comes around, I'm like, oh, I'm kind of looking forward to running in the summer.
Yeah.
And so in my own head on my run, I actually kind of figured out my issue with that. Or what I truly do like is that I like long runs in the winter and all my short runs in the summer.
Mm-hmm.
So in the winter, I don't mind going out and doing, you know, a 15 miler in the cold or in the rain or anything like that. It doesn't bother me at all. But a 15 miler in the middle of summer,
it can get pretty warm
when it's getting hot and, you know, the sun's beating on you. I'm not a fan of it. And then when it comes to kind of short runs, and usually when I refer to short runs, it's for me, it's midweek stuff. It's kind of like after work in the evening. I like summer a lot better because you just have more daylight. So I actually am able to get out there when there's actually some daylight.
Right.
Whereas in the winter, I don't know, it's, you know, sometimes lately I've been running at like 9 p.m. and it's just, it's kind of hard to get out sometimes in the winter at 9 p.m. You know, it's already been dark for a couple hours. It's kind of cold.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you just kind of want to be inside. So it's kind of tough. So I guess my own thought process is I figured it out that, you know, I really just want to do my long runs in the winter and short runs in the summer.
So that's what you're going to do then.
Yeah.
Just do tons of little short runs in the winter and then just run long in the summertime.
No, you got that reversed.
Yeah, that's what I meant. I'm like, that doesn't sound right. Yeah.
That would be my worst year ever.
Yeah. Do the opposite.
Yeah. So just sharing that for no particular reason. I don't know why anybody would care, but I'm still sharing it anyways.
Somebody might care.
That's true.
Yeah.
Maybe somebody kind of relates to that. And then the other thing although my running's been going pretty well so far this year, and I said this was a good January, I'm still just not getting enough sleep. I just cannot get myself to bed at a decent hour, to get what I would call a full night's sleep. So I continue to struggle with that. Thankfully, it hasn't really hampered my running and my running's going well, but
Netflix doesn't help.
Yeah, Netflix can be a bad thing sometimes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
but can kind of.
I mean that in a good way.
Well, TV in general, actually, if you're just kind of one of those people that can kind of get caught up watching something and then stay up later because of that. So, yeah, I guess that's it for me. Let's kind of jump into just kind of mention some races from this past weekend, which we only have two on the list: the Hong Kong 100K and the Miami Marathon.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing else made our list. Didn't seem like there was a lot.
Yeah,
going
I'm sure
on.
There was other races, but just didn't kind of catch our eye or come across our screen. I'll say.
Yeah. All right. Let's talk about Nike Women's.
Yeah. So we had mentioned not too long ago that Nike Women's SF was no more, that they had announced that they weren't going to have an event for this year. And then now in the last couple of days or in the last week, Nike has made an announcement that they're going to be having the Nike Women's Victory Tour 2016. So of course something's happening, right? Even if they did away with like the Toronto event and the SF event. So it's a one-of-a-kind running and training events worldwide in cities such as Shanghai, LA, Sydney, London, Atlanta, Barcelona. I mean, I can go on and on. Mm-hmm. There's lots of different places. Includes races of various distances. I think the shortest distance listed, or that they mentioned, I shouldn't say listed, was 5K up till marathon. And then it also would include other non-running but fitness-related events. The tour kicks off March 13th in Japan. And which that one comprises 10K two marathon, which I'm assuming that's like 10K half and marathon. If you're saying 10K two marathon, I don't know, or maybe just a 10K and a marathon. There aren't a lot of details yet.
Yeah,
that's why I'm kind of guessing, and
which is not surprising,
right?
From Nike.
Yeah, the tour actually runs through September, and registration for most events opens up tomorrow, January 29th. So I was checking out the page, the Nike event page, or the Nike page, I should say, that talks about this just to see if there was more details about events, and there really isn't. So I clicked on like the LA event because that'd be the closest one to us. And it just says like, put your email address here for more information. And that's pretty much it. So I guess I'll recheck tomorrow. I'm assuming like Japan, the registration for Japan will be open tomorrow since that's the first event. So
and this is an actual website, not a Facebook page.
This is an actual website. Okay. Yeah. Which is a step up from what it's been in the past where everything was just on Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Which I always thought that was weird for like Nike Women's SF just to be on Facebook and not actually have a full website. Just always seemed weird. But
so it's interesting. I think I'll kind of follow the news on it just because I'm interested.
And it's not really surprising from Nike to kind of change things up.
Right.
In that regard of like, oh, we did these races. Now let's do this new thing because they seem like the company that's looking for the next marketing push, you know, to kind of be different than the last one and not necessarily the type that's going to keep with tradition, and we're going to keep this thing for 20 years going. So,
yeah. So you'll probably, this probably won't be the last time you hear about it.
Okay. Well, keep track of it. Let us know.
Yeah.
On to Skittles.
Yeah.
How did Skittles make the run down here?
So Skittles is a new presenting partner for the Color Run.
Which?
For this year.
Take a second, think about it. That makes perfect sense.
Yeah, total sense. So, I mean, there wasn't a whole lot of information as to how much you'll see Skittles. I mean, I don't mean actual candy, but just the company, you know, like how much you're going to see of it at the events. But so I would think you'd get candy, though.
I'm sure you will at some point.
Hopefully not thrown at you.
Well, I was about to say, instead of throwing color down, do they just throw Skittles up in the air? That could be quite painful in certain situations. But it's definitely a case of seemingly the perfect marketing partner.
Yeah.
You know, you couldn't possibly pick a better partner for the Color Run than Skittles, if you know the candy and even their old commercials, which I haven't seen a Skittles commercial in seemingly a while, but I don't know. I don't watch that many commercials either, so.
I've seen a couple. Where the kid has like the Skittle pox.
Okay. Yeah. I kind of remember that one. Now.
Okay.
All right. On to, see, we're going from Nike to Skittles to dogs.
Mm-hmm.
So we had a dog who ran a half marathon.
Yeah.
And actually finished in seventh place.
Yep. Well, I guess unofficially.
Unofficially, of course.
She technically abandoned it.
I was going to say, so, did not officially register for the race.
Yeah. So Ludovine, a 2.5-year-old hound dog, was actually just let out to do her business in Alabama. It just happened to be a half marathon taking place that same day. She somehow made her way by herself to the starting line before it actually even started. And she ran with the racers and ended up running the entire race and finishing unofficially in seventh place with the time, unofficial time. Because I don't think she had a bib or a chip on her of 132.56. So that's impressive.
Yeah, for what the owner admitted was a lazy dog.
Yeah.
So
yep.
Maybe the dog's truly not lazy, just hasn't been given the opportunity to kind of show what it's made out of.
Kind of blossom.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Come into its own, you know? I mean, right. It is now 2.5 years old, so it's looking to kind of make a name for itself, maybe. I mean, I don't know. I think this was kind of the feel-good story in the running world for the past week.
And like the pictures of like, he just, you know, looks like Ludovine's just having like a lot of fun, tongue hanging out, you know, and at the end with the medal around her neck.
Yeah. And with the breed of dog, and if you just look at the dog, this is not the type of dog you would think would run 13 miles.
Exactly.
So good on the dog for that one.
Yeah.
On to New York Roadrunners. I guess, did New York Lottery just open?
I think so, yeah.
And then there just recently opened up, and then there's also a lawsuit against New York Roadrunners regarding their lottery. If you think back, this is kind of the same lawsuit situation that Iron Man was in with their lottery to get in their races, right?
Mm-hmm.
Kind of a similar situation. So we'll put a link to the story if you want to go into that in depth.
But yeah, basically having to do something with the fact that you're charged a fee
that you
just to enter the lottery that you don't get back.
Right.
Versus like Chicago, which I believe you don't pay a fee to enter the lottery, right? I don't think you do.
I honestly don't remember.
I don't think you do.
I don't think so.
I'm not 100% sure, but I'm pretty sure.
I mean, Chicago's the nice one where you actually get to find out if you're in or out before you even decide whether you want to pay to do it, versus most lotteries where you have to throw in your credit card, and if you're accepted, then you're automatically
charged.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, other news. I think there's going to be a lot of news focusing on the Olympic marathon trials coming up in just a couple weeks. And the news from today was Galen Rupp. We mentioned him a couple weeks ago getting his qualifier for the trials, and it was publicly made known today that yes, he is going to be at the trials. He is going to be running the marathon. So just to make that a more interesting story than, you know, the trials were just going to be in general, this is going to be his debut marathon. He ran a very fast half to kind of qualify for the trials. It will be very interesting to see what he can do in the full.
Yeah.
I can't even make a guess.
What if you had to guess?
I you honestly.
Have to, you have to.
I have no idea. Yeah, what to say at all, because I mean, this is kind of, you know, your 10,000 meter specialist doing a marathon, and I don't know what kind of training he's done for the last couple months, or the last 6 months kind of leading into this. Knowing Alberto Salazar, they probably, I don't know, I would like to think that they knew he was going to run it, you know, months ago, and so they've been preparing for it, but who knows? I don't know. I mean, he's a guy that just is naturally very fast. He's obviously, I mean, the guy's probably been in a great shape for the last 10 years. So that's not an issue. But yeah, I don't know. It'll be really interesting to see.
But it's a new distance.
Yeah.
It's a different race strategy.
And if he ends up being super, you know, let's say best case scenario, he's super successful, makes the team, makes the Olympic team, you know, obviously gets that top three spot. Yeah, I don't know what that means for his career, you know, over the next couple of years, or what he's going to decide to do. I mean, I'm sure he'll probably go to the Olympics and try to run the marathon and either the, you know, the 5K or the 10K. But yeah, I don't know. I guess we'll have to check that out and follow along with how he does.
Yeah.
Yeah, I really just have no idea.
What does your gut tell you?
Nothing. I just really, you know, I always have opinion on stuff and like to make guesses, but I just really have no idea what he's going to do. I don't know.
I think he's going to finish middle of the pack.
You think so?
Yeah. And that's not an educated opinion or guess. Mm-hmm. That's just gut.
See, my gut tells me.
I thought I didn't say anything.
My gut just woke up and decided to have an opinion.
It's late to the party.
Yeah, my gut doesn't think Alberto Salazar would have him run the trials if he didn't think he had a shot at finishing top three.
I don't think that's your gut. I think you're your head.
I'm thinking it through too much. Right. Okay.
No, not too much. You're just thinking about it, which is a good point.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's not gonna go. He's not gonna have him go out there just to finish. Right. I mean, you
or
know.
Just to run your first marathon.
Right.
Yeah. I would.
Although, what a hell of a first marathon.
That's true. Yeah. Especially if you finish top three.
Right.
All right. I wonder
if there's a cutoff time.
I don't know. I mean, you would think that would just not be an issue at all.
What if it is?
It would have to be some ridiculously fast cutoff time, right?
3 hours. No, I'm curious though. Like if there's.
Well, I don't
I mean,
know.
I guess it's not really going to be an issue, but.
I mean, it's even more so not an issue because it's a loop course.
True.
In that they're actually going to be doing a loop several times, which is great for spectators because you can kind of go one spot and see them run by four or five times. But if you want to talk about, you know, how much road they're actually closing down in LA to do the race, it's actually not very much road at all for the race. So my guess is, I don't know. I bet you there's no official cutoff time.
Yeah, I don't know. Sorry for bringing it up. I was just really curious.
Our mind does wander even in the middle of the podcast.
Yeah.
So some other talk about the trials. Some of the numbers, I guess, from the trials. Do you want to list these off? Or
yeah. So in all, 244 women and 211 men qualified. The men actually saw more success qualifying via the half marathon with 59% compared to just 48 women, which is 20%. So that's interesting that more men qualified via the half marathon. Mm-hmm. Which I actually, up until this year, didn't even know that that was something that you could do, qualify via a half marathon.
Right.
I mean, not that I particularly knew all the ins and outs of that, but still.
Well, I mean, when it comes along every 4 years, it's
right.
It's not like it's something you needed to know. And even if you did, you probably forgot it 3.5 years ago.
Yeah. Yeah. And then a total of 27 men and 41 women obtained the A standard, which for men is a 2:15 marathon or faster. And for women is 2:37 or faster. And then about 20 runners actually secured their invitation on the last weekend to qualify with races like R&R Arizona, Houston Marathon. And there was supposed to be another half marathon that was going to maybe have more people qualify at half marathon, the Naples Daily News half marathon. But unfortunately, it had to be canceled due to a storm. So that didn't produce any qualifiers this year. Runners actually have until January 31st. So just a couple more days to register for the Olympic Trials Marathon. So Galen was running out of time. To officially register. Yeah.
They did.
Obviously,
wait for
I knew
the last
he. Minute. Obviously, like he, I'm sure they were aware that it was January 31st and didn't like come as a surprise to them. But
that's.
Yeah. Well, I guess I mean, what's the rush? It's
right. There's no advantage to them. I'm sure that's all Salazar.
Right.
Making those determinations on what race he would qualify, and then when to officially announce that he would be here, and even just keeping secret the fact that he was going to be in the trials.
Right.
I know. I think it was this weekend. I was reading a story, and these numbers might be off by one because there was one woman that had the qualifier. She's a recent citizen, just became.
Oh, right. I remember you mentioning
American
that.
Citizen. And then I think there was some last minute stuff that they had to just verify her technical eligibility to be in the race. And I guess that all got worked out and cleared. And so I can't remember her name because I lost the story link. But yeah, she'll be there at the trials, which is actually pretty fast. So could actually be a contender there on the women's side. So, all right. And then also continue on the trials. Like I said, I think the trials are going to kind of take up a lot of our time over the next couple weeks. There's actually two couples in the trials. Mm-hmm. So you have Emma and Drew Pauly, and then also Tim and Lindsay Tollefson, that are some of those men and women that are in the trials. So kind of interesting having couples.
Yeah. It's interesting that there was originally going to be four couples.
Oh, was there?
Yeah. But then two couples now are, they're not like both people in the couple, I don't know how to explain that, are not doing it anymore. So it was also going to include Esther and Cole Adkins, but Cole has a foot injury. And then it was also going to include Sarah and Ryan Hall, but
somebody retired.
Exactly. Yeah. Guess who? Yeah. So down to two couples.
Yeah. That'll be interesting.
Four seems like a lot though to start with.
Well, I mean,
in a field that size, but I guess, yeah.
Yeah. Of just a couple hundred people.
Yeah.
Yeah. Those must be some competitive relationships.
Or not. Who knows?
I know we see the Tollefson's name kind of come up frequently. Mm-hmm. I think they're out of California, right?
Yeah. They're Mammoth.
And then they're both Nike.
Trail elite.
Team something.
Yeah, members. We just pieced that together, but yeah. They're part of the Nike Trail team. How's that?
That works for me.
Okay.
All right. Any other trial stuff?
Nothing that I can think of for now. Like you said, I'm sure more is going to be coming up now that it's, what, like just over 2 weeks away? Is that right? Yeah.
Yes, because if you're doing LA Marathon, you're probably into a taper if you're doing a standard 3-week taper.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I'm not doing a standard taper yet. We didn't talk about that.
Yeah, but I think maybe we'll share kind of the run-in next week.
Yeah. So yeah, I don't have anything else right now about the trials, but I'm sure more things will be coming up. So next couple episodes, I'm sure we'll talk about it some more.
Okay. All right. Well, before we kind of jump into our big articles for the day, we do want to take a moment and thank our sponsor and let you know about the Jabra Sport Pulse wireless earbuds, which we've been telling you about. I've been running with them all the time lately. They actually are the most comfortable earbuds that I've ever worn. If you're still kind of running with a corded earbud, it's time to ditch that thing for sure and go wireless. But having the accurate in-ear heart rate monitoring has been really awesome. I mean, I was out on my 15-miler and it was really nice kind of having that feedback, even though I wasn't doing specific heart rate training.
And it was nice not to have a chest strap, right, for that?
Yeah. I mean, I stopped wearing my chest strap just because it just became one extra thing to kind of take with you all the time.
Right.
And I think I've mentioned before, there's nothing nastier than your chest strap after a long run.
I've heard that from many people.
it's just a sweaty mess. So to not have to bother with that, it makes it super easy. I mean, I'm already going to do every single run with earbuds, whether I'm listening to a podcast or to music. But to not have to add something else to get that additional benefit of that heart rate monitoring, is awesome. If you want to do specific heart rate zone training, you can definitely go that way.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, it's definitely very easy. Pairs up right with your Android or your iPhone. Or you can use the Jabra's own app to go along with it, which is super helpful. Even has the battery level in there, which makes it super easy to kind of keep track of it. And then one of my favorite things is it's actually super easy to charge. I mean, it may sound like a weird thing, but if you mess with electronics sometimes, you know, you have a hard time like opening little latches and getting to little charger stuff. But the Jabra is actually super easy to just pop it open and then you just plug in the charger, and it's very easy for silly people like me, because while you're charging, it has a red LED. When it's done, it flashes green, you know, you're good to go. I was actually charging mine the other day in the car. So, just plugged into the USB port on my car, made it super easy. So yeah, visit jabra.com/embracerunning. You can sign up for exclusive offers and product discounts. And you still have a couple days. We're giving away a free pair of the Jabra Pulse at the end of the month. So all you have to do is sign up. We're going to give one away to a listener at random. So definitely don't miss that opportunity. Jabra.com/embracerunning. Or like I said, just visit your local store. You know, Best Buy carries them. It's definitely just pick up a pair and give it a try. So yeah, Jabra, this is where it starts. All right. Should we talk about vitamin D?
Sure.
Which is not really a vitamin.
Right.
Okay.
But it's still referred to as vitamin D. So that's how we'll talk about it. So yeah, it seems like this topic somehow kind of comes up every winter, even though it's probably important year round. But I think just for the simple fact that, so, you know, because sunlight, you know, I know I'm like all over the place, but I was just thinking about that. It's, you kind of hear about it, or at least I kind of hear about it more each winter just for that reason, because there's less sunlight, which you basically need for... Anyways, let's back up. So, you know, we talked about wintertime, having shorter days. One of the reasons you like to do your short runs more in the summer. Is that right? Did I get it right that time?
That's correct.
Yeah. So, you know, they're just being less daylight hours during the winter, and a lot more of us are spending a lot more times indoors, whether it be for work or school or whatever it may be, than, you know, years before, where a lot of work would be done outdoors. Mm-hmm. You know, we're exposed to more sun. So,
and that's a whole change with society.
Yeah, yeah.
In general.
Right. So there's been a lot more research into, you know, looking at vitamin D, which, like you said, is not technically a vitamin, but still referred to as that, vitamin D. And then specifically here for us, what we're talking about is just any negative effects it has, not just on your health, but on your, potentially on your athletic performance. Mm-hmm. So running included, but could be for other athletic events too. So a couple of negative health effects that are pretty much known as a result of low vitamin D or vitamin D deficiency is poor bone density, and even weak immune systems. So as far as I know, that's not anything that is still arguable or disputed. Mm-hmm. I think that's pretty well accepted.
I think so.
That's what they...
And there may even be some links to diabetes.
Right. Or even cardiovascular disease, I think. So I mean, I think that's where it's still... There needs to be more research done.
Right. Yeah. Like so many things.
Exactly. Yeah. Just continual ongoing research. So, but in relation to like athletic performance, there's been more and more studies being done specifically on that. And obviously, again, more research needs to be done, but there's actually one study that found improved sprint times in soccer players when they had higher levels of vitamin D. And then another study actually suggested that muscles get stronger with increased vitamin D intake. So obviously those are just two studies that we're talking about there, but, I mean, that's, you know, helping to support that not only does vitamin D affect bone density, which also can affect athletic performance, you know, and your immune system, which could also affect your athletic performance, but, you know, just actual effects on sprint time. So how fast you can run and then your muscle strength and how well those perform. So in general, you know, vitamin D also helps you to absorb calcium, which is necessary for healthy bones. So I think that's pretty self-explanatory.
Yeah. I think the big issue is the effect on your immune system, because mm-hmm. if you're an athlete and you're already kind of pushing your body really hard, you know, if you're one of those people that has a very large load in terms of mileage and effort during a week, you're already possibly susceptible. You're already kind of beating up on your immune system. And so if you're not getting that vitamin D, you're even kind of think of it as beating it up a little bit more.
Exactly.
And just kind of weakening yourself in that way.
Yeah.
And if you're getting sick more often, that's going to affect your ability to train.
Right. Yep. And then also another thing to talk about too is that it also regulates different processes within your muscular system that actually helps to keep inflammation down. So, I mean, that could affect not only your performance, but your recovery time or the way your body or muscles recover after like the hard training sessions or the high mileage or whatever it is that you're doing. I know we're talking about running specifically because that's what we talk about. But, you know, whatever you're doing as far as your athletic event.
Okay.
It looks like you wanted to add something. No.
No.
Oh, okay. Looks like you were thinking about it.
I was deep in thought, you know.
So, again, more research needs to be done on how much vitamin D, you know, like you should have for specifically for athletic performance. Mm-hmm. You know, so most of us probably, or a lot of us, I shouldn't say most, a lot of us probably aren't getting enough. What they recommend is getting, as far as getting the sufficient amount of vitamin D through sunlight, is to have about 10 minutes of direct high sun. So, like noon, right?
Yeah, midday.
Midday thing. On your full body a few times per week. So I don't know anybody who's out
walking around naked.
Yeah.
Okay.
Even in the
getting
summertime.
Getting their vitamin D.
Exactly.
Okay.
So, but you know, trying to expose as I guess as much of your body to do that. And so they actually refer to it as half the time it takes before you start to turn pink, about three times per week. Okay. I have no idea how long that is for me. No idea.
I've never
tested myself to see, oh, I'm turning pink and that was like 20 minutes. I don't know.
Yeah, usually so, it's just that, oh, look, I'm burnt.
Yeah, like, oh, okay, I passed pink already. So, but they said for most of us, that just means about 10 to 20 minutes at a time, a couple of times a week. So that's funny. And then something else I didn't mention, you know, I talked about us not getting as much sun exposure, especially in the winter because of the shorter days, plus what our lives are like now, a lot more indoors. Mm-hmm. But then also, you know, with all the information we have now about protecting ourselves against skin cancer, you know, there's a lot of focus on covering your skin.
Yes.
Which makes sense for preventing skin cancer. But then that offsets the benefit you get from, you know, vitamin D. Not to say that you should be out there, you know, totally exposed all the time, because then obviously you're going to have other issues. But I think a lot of people are more aware about preventing skin cancer, and so are covered up a lot more with hats and long sleeves and that sort of thing. So that also contributes to not getting to having low vitamin D levels or deficiencies.
Yeah, we definitely have a huge focus on skin cancer.
Yeah.
And, you know, obviously applying sunblock, hugely important. And the fact of it is that that is going to have an effect on your vitamin D levels.
Mm-hmm. Now, I'm not saying don't cover yourself up, but I'm just saying that that's a factor too.
Right. Yeah. It's just one of the reasons that vitamin D deficiencies have become so common.
Right. Yeah. And then something to, you know, to keep in mind right now, currently the federal government recommends that our vitamin D level be at 20 nanograms per milliliter, but there isn't anything specific as far as what would be optimal for specific performance or anything like that. Plus, we need to keep in mind that it's a fat-soluble vitamin, so it is possible to overdose and actually hit a toxic level. So don't go out there and just start taking, you know, vitamin D supplements without seeing your, you know, your healthcare provider and getting it checked out first and getting, you know, a dose recommended if you need it. Mm-hmm. And maybe you're not deficient, you know.
Right.
So,
well, I mean,
but you don't want to just go out there and start taking stuff because you think you might be deficient.
Right.
Or because we talked about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, because, I mean, like you said, to go back to kind of where you get your vitamin D, obviously the sunlight is your big big source right there.
Right.
You can get a little bit from certain foods.
Yeah. A whole lot, but yeah.
You know, think about that fortified milk.
Right.
And then supplements is actually the other source.
Mm-hmm.
So there's not a lot of opportunities to get vitamin D. But yeah, like you were saying, don't just tomorrow go out and, well, depending on where you're at right now, you probably don't have the choice of going out in the sun because you might be still buried in snow and the clouds are covering your sky.
Yeah.
But
or if you're somewhere where it's not winter, then you're getting probably enough sun exposure right now, so don't worry about it.
Yeah, the one big takeaway for me is I think I'm actually overdue to kind of go get a blood test at my doctor's office.
Mm-hmm.
So I think the next time I go get a blood test, I'm going to specifically request that they check my, would I say vitamin D level? I don't know.
Yeah.
Okay. That's the appropriate way to ask for it.
Yeah.
Just more so out of curiosity. And then if I had some type of deficiency, then I think that's something I can discuss with my healthcare provider.
Right.
And you know.
And go from there.
Go from there. And, you know, if supplements are something that's needed or not needed, you know, take it from there. But if nothing else, I'll definitely, from a curiosity standpoint, pay attention to that the next time I get a blood test. So, yeah.
Yeah, I think I'll, I don't think I've ever had mine checked just because, I don't think I ever had a specific reason to, but I mean, the more I think about it and how much time we spend indoors, even despite running outside still, you know, we spend a lot of time indoors. Or even when we're out, I have my hat on, which is good, but you know, like quite a bit of my body is covered, so.
Well, I think, like I said, I think it's, if nothing else, it's an interesting thing to look at, but it might be a good thing for runners just to check because I know we kind of do have that assumption that, hey, as runners, we're getting plenty of sun.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know, until you do that blood test and get an actual number,
right?
You might be surprised.
Yeah.
You know?
I don't know. You're doing a bunch of trail running in the shade.
Right.
Yeah, you're outdoors, but you're not really getting any sunlight.
Right.
Or direct sunlight, I should say.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of take it back personally, you know, during the week right now, I'm doing all my running at night.
Right.
I'm only getting out in the sun on the weekends, and that's
pretty limited.
Yeah, I'm actually trying to think on my run on the week this past weekend, you know, probably half of it was in the shade. So,
yeah.
And it's in the early morning, and, you know, probably the rest of the day I was actually inside the house.
Right.
So, yeah, I think.
And probably most of your body was covered up.
Yes, actually, it was cool. Yes.
Yeah.
You are correct.
Yep.
So yeah, that's where the kind of the focus for runners, I think, comes into play because we just assume we get plenty of sun and might be surprised.
Right.
Alrighty. Anything else on the vitamin D?
That's it for now.
Besides it being, what was vitamin D? Was that a group back in the day, like 20 years ago, or is that a song? No. Okay. Forget it. Somebody will know what I'm talking about from like maybe 15, 20 years ago.
You sure?
Maybe.
Maybe you made it up.
Somebody will know what I'm talking about. Vitamin D. It was either a song or a group or a singer or something.
We'll wait and see what somebody says.
Somebody help me out.
Somebody make something up.
Send me a tweet, please. All right. Let's talk about some really cold races because we are in the middle of winter. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of on topic, I guess.
Yeah. We're really going with this theme, huh?
Yeah. I think so.
So we're going to talk about the 7 coldest running races ever.
Ever?
Yeah.
Okay.
Now, we didn't compile this, but they do seem pretty cold. So, And you know how we feel about cold weather.
It's awesome.
Yeah. So first one is.
No. I do like the cold. I mean, I did say I like running.
I know,
in the winter,
but I think, I guess.
Our definition of cold is just exactly. Not anywhere near this.
Yeah. So the first one is the North Pole Marathon. Yeah, it's at the North Pole. So the temperature is between negative 25 degrees Celsius to negative 40 degrees Celsius. But with the wind chill, it can reach negative 60. I can't even comprehend like what that is. So not only do you have to worry about the cold, which is what we're really talking about here, but you also need to be concerned about polar bear attacks.
What?
The wind chill. And then the fact that there actually isn't any land up there. You're basically running on ice, which is on top of the ocean. So that's kind of crazy. I mean, obviously not like a little thin sheet of ice, but you know.
You're not going to fall in.
No, you're not going to fall in. But yeah, it's just super cold. Polar bear attacks, I'm kind of curious like if that's...
an actual thing.
Yeah, or it's just because they're also up there. So
right.
Yeah. So yeah, that's the number one. Number two is the Antarctic Ice Marathon. That sounds pretty cool too. Negative 20 degrees Celsius and the possibility of strong katabatic, I don't know if I said that correctly, winds. I did my best there. So it's the only marathon run in the interior of the Arctic. And so for those that want to complete a marathon on every continent, this is it. You got to grab your snow goggles, hop on a private jet that takes competitors from Chile to the Union Glacier in Antarctica. That's probably like the most work to get to a marathon.
Well, I was actually going to say these must be, we don't have any information on the prices of these things.
Oh, but yeah.
Just with the logistics, these must be very expensive races to be doing just because of the travel that's involved. And yeah, it's just got to be super expensive. And there's no character stops, so.
And no Skittles thrown at you. And
thinking back to the expensive races that we normally run. Yeah,
no cake at the aid station. Okay, the next one is 6633 Ultra. So it's Eagle Plains, Yukon, Canada to the Arctic Ocean. Typically, temperatures negative 30s and negative 40s, but the lowest temperature was negative 52, with the wind chill taking that to negative 78. This is Celsius on part of the race in 2008. That just seems like it's not even inhabitable, negative 78 degrees
Celsius. Yeah, that don't seem right.
Right. Obviously, again, that's for us coming from
Northern
California.
No, I think that's for
everybody. So. Oh, okay. It's one of the coldest, windiest, and extreme ultramarathons. It's a nonstop, self-sufficient race over 120 or 350 miles. I'm not sure why it's one or the other, but and it crosses the line of the Arctic Circle. You must carry sleds with your food, cooking items, and clothing. And like we mentioned, the coldest recorded temperature was negative 52 Celsius, but with wind chill, that took it to negative 78 degrees Celsius on right pass. Anything you want to add there?
No. Okay. I was getting ready. Are we on number four?
Yeah.
Which has the best name.
Yep. You want to say it?
Nope.
The Hypothermic Half Marathon.
There you go.
So they have them all over Canada. I think somebody actually told us about this, I think. I don't remember if this was the series that somebody wanted
somebody
to
talking,
do.
Somebody was trying to talk
it was
us
another
into
cold
a really
series.
Cold one, yeah.
So the coldest is actually in Winnipeg, Manitoba, with negative 47 degrees Celsius with wind chill last year. But 500 people actually still took part in the freezing half marathon.
How many?
500.
That's pretty dedicated.
Yeah. I've been in races smaller than 500. Number five, the Antarctic Ice Ultra. It's in the South Pole.
Back to the South.
Right, exactly. Negative 20 degrees Celsius. It's the only 100K event on the South Pole, and it's a race for tough endurance athletes. It's a tough slog. It's 100K. And it's in Antarctic, and the sun never sets.
Oh, that could be.
That could be good.
Yeah, that's kind of cool, actually.
Yeah.
For a race of that distance, yeah.
Right. Number six, the Siberian Ice Marathon in Siberia. Lowest recorded temperature was negative 30 degrees Celsius. The race this year actually already took place earlier this month. It has a half marathon and a marathon. And it's interesting that they talk about the way that different people trained to run in that type of cold weather.
Uh-huh.
And they said the most interesting story that they heard of how people trained was to train in factory fridges. Like actually run in.
Inside?
Yeah.
Hmm. That's a good idea for training, though. That's,
yeah.
That's actually really, you know, it's that specific.
Try it again.
No.
Okay.
You'd have to throw back
specificity
to
training?
Yeah, thank okay. you. The one word I can never say on this podcast for some reason.
You got over halfway through it, though. right, and number seven, the race is Tough Guy, which is in the UK. Minus degrees Celsius, but you also get wet. So that's the big thing, too. It's a run with obstacles set in freezing temperatures. Competitors battle 200 obstacles, including cold water dunkings. And so you basically have to try to fend off hypothermia. After one race, 600 people were actually treated for it. That's a lot of people.
Yeah. That just seems like the most dangerous of the lists.
Because you're getting soaked in cold water. Even though the temperature, like the ambient temperature, isn't as cold as some of the other ones.
Right.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think sometimes I've had conversations with people about just local, you know, here in the U.S. obstacle races, and I've always felt that some of the water obstacles are just the most dangerous part of them, whether that be from people jumping on other people, but sometimes the freezing water can be quite a problem.
Right.
So this sounds really super dangerous to me.
Yeah.
So.
I mean, at least here, like on the cold water, what we consider cold water dunks and stuff, you come out and it's not like below freezing when you're out, you know, so yeah. That was the whole list there.
Yeah. So if we gave you a race to sign up for, if you want to sign up for, or if you've done one of those, let us know. It'd be an interesting story, I guess, to hear. And more power to you. If you have zero interest in one of those at all, then you're right there with me. Just way too cold. Alrighty. Are we jumping into the feedback?
Yeah.
Alright, let's do that. I'm a little slow queuing up my stuff here, though, so.
Message received.
Yeah, better to jump into the feedback than to those freezing cold
good
waters
one. They good
have.
One.
Alright, see?
That would have been a good transition.
Just pretend we transitioned that way and you didn't hear the last part. Okay. So we heard from Sean, who wanted to say that he loved your magnetic sleeves that you talked about last time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They are actually cool.
Yeah.
So, although I kind of looked, it's actually I think it's the Segway Versa jacket that I have, which I think a couple of years back was actually a run bike jacket. Now the new version, they kind of just call it a bike jacket. So I don't know. I still like it, but.
Is there, would there be, cause I think of like random stuff, right? So would there be a possibility that you could, once you take your sleeves off, cause they're magnetic, right? And so you have like the vest left, could you accidentally grab the sleeves and put them on upside down? Like your left sleeve on your right arm and your right sleeve on your left arm?
No, you could put it inside out, if that makes any sense.
Yeah.
But you couldn't. I don't think you can switch the arms around.
Like, so it's kind of like upside down, kind of? Huh. Okay. I was just curious.
Not that I'm 100% sure what you're even talking about, but we'll I'll go with that as my
it.
Answer.
We'll have to go try it. Okay, and then we heard from Sean, a different Sean, by the way, not the same one.
Because apparently we are the number one running podcast for people named Sean.
Yeah, yeah. So all you Sean's out there, yeah. Who was just echoing that it was a great article that we talked about on Ryan Hall retiring, but he said it did leave out a lot about his family, how it's growing in the last year through adoption. And he says Ryan Hall has always sponsored the Chosen Marathons, which benefit adoptions, which I didn't know that.
Yeah. So, yeah, that part of his story is super interesting. Mm-hmm. I think we just mentioned that real quick.
Yeah. We also heard from Brad, not Sean, who recently found our podcast and wanted to drop us a note telling us how much he enjoys it. He actually started running back in 2008, and over the next 2 years, he lost a lot of weight, completing 3 marathons, 250Ks, and countless other smaller distance races. Unfortunately, he was then sidelined with hip issues after his last marathon in November 2010 and ended up having to take a lot of time off. And unfortunately, during that time, managed to put on a lot of weight. I'm sure a lot of people can relate to that. And then in January of 2015, so just over a year now, or a year ago, I guess I should say, he started a weight loss program through his chiropractor and dropped all that weight that he put on and then some, and found running again. So he says we make him smile thinking about how much joy he gets out of running and that the act of running is fun, which we completely agree. That's why we talk about it all the time and do it all the time. And then he actually hears that in our voices. So he spends a lot of time driving for work and thinks he will probably have listened to all of our episodes by summertime.
Don't do it.
I think you're going to get sick of us. So
no, that's right.
Yeah, take some days off here and there and a week off maybe and then go back to it. So
yeah, in a month he's going to be, you know, I'm so sick of your voices. And
yeah, exactly.
You never record again. That would be awesome.
Yeah.
All right. I'm taking the next two because we did hear from our, I'm calling them our Disney experts.
I agree. Yes.
So we heard from Heather, who's actually here on the West Coast, and Beth, who's actually out on the East Coast.
Yeah, that's interesting. Good point.
So we got both coasts covered. But they actually give us a bunch of information talking about, Run Disney, and we were talking about the costume changes, and kind of the last minute changes on that. And I think, so to combine your feedback in some ways, I'll kind of go through some of it. Heather was actually at Star Wars Half Marathon weekend. I know that she said that the new costume policy didn't really have a huge impact on kind of the atmosphere or the fun there. So I think, you know, perhaps some of the costume stuff was perhaps blown out of proportion.
Yeah.
To a certain degree. Mm-hmm. Although I think everybody pretty much agrees that it was kind of not the best thing to just be last minute on letting people know about it. Interestingly, both Heather and Beth, for some reason, neither one of them are fans of the wings that people wear at the races. They both kind of mentioned
getting poked
to some degree, getting poked by wings. So it was kind of very interesting that you both kind of totally agree with that. And, you know, we've only done a few of the Disney races, but I don't think I've ever been poked by wings, but I could totally see that. I guess it's not too late.
You too can get poked by wings.
I thought you were going to say I should wear the wings.
Oh. Oh, I guess. Yeah.
Yeah. But then they also echoed that, you know, a lot of the changes were basically just on Disney kind of stepping up their security at the end of last year with new security policies. And then they also both mentioned, you know, what's huge with Disney is their, because we were talking about the picture thing with, you know, oh, you're going to dress up as a picture. And Dress up as a character. And, yeah. Like, you can't, like, have other people taking pictures
with you.
I still say they worded it wrong.
Yeah.
Because if you're somebody from the outside who just came to run the race and, I don't know, maybe you're not even going to the park.
Yeah.
That it's just worded kind of weird. But they basically say, you know, the big thing is Disney's very specific on kind of their rules for their employees that are basically dressing up as characters inside the park. And there's a lot of work and effort that goes into that and making sure they act the correct way. And you certainly don't want a random visitor at the park thinking somebody that they're stopping and taking a picture with is a park employee.
Right.
Especially if that person does something wrong or doesn't act in the right manner or does something really wrong that could lead to, you know, you could always have legal issues and stuff like that. So there's always been very strict guidelines on that type of thing. So, did I miss everything? I said everything.
I know. I don't know how to answer that. That's why I didn't answer. No, I don't think you missed anything.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that's the short of it. They actually gave us great responses on Disney. So that's actually over on our Facebook page. So if you want to kind of see both their reactions in detail, definitely head over to Facebook and read that. So
yeah.
Is that the end of the list?
I think so. Yep. That's it.
All righty. Cool. I don't know what's going on next week.
Mm-hmm. We'll probably talk about running again.
Well, yeah.
Yeah. Big surprise.
And at least in the next couple of weeks, we'll probably talk about even more LA Marathon as we gear up for it. And there's more focus kind of on the people, the elites running the trials and all that stuff. So I know I'm super excited looking forward to LA.
Are you looking more forward to watching the trials or running the race or both?
I'm actually legitimately looking forward to both. Mm-hmm. I think the trials is just a cool experience.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I think we're kind of going down a topic again. I think you have to be, I don't know, maybe some people would see you or think that you're weird because, you know, some people already think us weird because, you know, are you going to go run for 4 hours? That just seems crazy and silly, you know, and then what, you're going to go stand on the street and watch other people run for 2.5 hours? That doesn't.
And then you're going to run the next day for 4 hours?
And then the next
hours?
Day you're going to go run for, you know, 4 hours? That makes zero sense, but it is fun. We've been known to head out towards Tour of California is kind of the one that I always think is, it's fun to go watch, but I think a lot of people think, like, it's crazy.
Like, why you know,
watch
gonna,
bikes
like,
ride
why,
by.
Yeah, yeah.
But but just the fact that the trials are in California and on that weekend and we're going to be there, it should be fun. I was kind of thinking to myself, I'm super prepared for the LA Marathon weekend, only in terms of like logistics,
not actual training
for the run. So I actually did spend a lot of time this past week like looking up the schedule of the trials. Okay, they start at this time, and look, I was looking at the course and then, you know, what the expo hours and, you know, how many aid stations. So I'm super prepared for kind of the logistical stuff having to do with the LA Marathon. The actual running part, less prepared for, but, yeah. All right.
It'll still be fun.
It still should be fun, and I'm definitely looking forward to it.
But basically prepare to hear a lot more about it in the
next few weeks. So that should be good. All right. I think we kind of extended that one enough at the end there for no reason whatsoever. So we're going to end it there.
The website for the podcast is embracerunning.com. You could find us on Facebook at facebook.com/embracerunning. Send us any comments, questions, or feedback at feedback@embracerunning.com or leave us a voicemail at 925-400-7223. If you enjoy the show, give us a review on iTunes. So until next time, embrace running.